Greetings, everyone. It's Pastor Bob, and welcome to May 2nd of our Mark in May Bible reading together. We begin with these words from Jesus Christ. He says this, "Living in dependence on me is the way to enjoy abundant life. You are learning to appreciate tough times because they amplify your awareness of my presence. Tasks that you used to dread are becoming rich opportunities to enjoy my closeness. When you feel tired, you remember that I am your strength. You take pleasure in leaning on me. I am pleased by your tendency to turn to me more and more frequently, especially when you are alone. When you are with other people, you often lose sight of my presence. You fear of displeasing people puts you in a bondage to them, and they become your primary focus. When you realize this has happened, whisper my name. This tiny act of trust brings me to the forefront of your consciousness, where I belong. As you bask in the blessing of my nearness, my life can flow through you to others. This is abundant life." Amen. Jesus calling. Thanks to Sarah Young for that. Well, here we sit on our second day together. The sun is out again, shining directly on my Bible. The aromatherapy is in full gear with the sandalwood and vanilla candle. The tea this morning is the three ginger organic tea from Puka. Kind of a rare tea that has a strong ginger and turmeric taste. Cheers. And we turn to the Gospel of Mark. So we've already finished one day of reading, and I bet you're sitting there thinking, well, my life doesn't seem to have changed that much. In fact, I barely remember what we read, and it just seems like the same old, same old. And that's why we went through yesterday like we did, because today is the day we realize we can't read Scripture alone and be changed. We read it with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reads it for us, embeds meaning on our hearts, implants memories of the meaning of Scripture within us. And if we just read Scripture alone, it becomes another text, another book, another novel, another story. It comes and goes in our life. But today we read with the Holy Spirit. Yesterday we went through the first 20 verses of Mark. We had, the beginning of the good news, the third book in the Bible that uses the beginning as the way it opens. We met John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, in a few verses. We know that John was baptizing people, and he baptized Jesus. And right after Jesus was baptized, remember, he was driven immediately into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And after that, John was arrested, and with the changing of the guard, John arrested, and Jesus says the time is fulfilled. And now he comes to the forefront, and he says the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And then he went out, remember, and he called his first disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He called Simon and Andrew and James and John. So that's where we left off. Today we begin with verse 21, and we'll go to the end of the chapter, by the way. And then we'll come back and do a second reading and leave it to you and your Lord and the Holy Spirit to continue. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, What is this? A new teaching? With authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And when they found him, they said to him, Everyone is searching for you. He answered, Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said, If you choose, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, I do choose. Be made clean. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. Thus completes chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark. Well, there we have it. We've walked through a chapter. We've asked the Holy Spirit to join us. Now, as we walk through again, we really want to open our hearts up and hear the word. Whatever the message is for you today, God has it embedded in these words. These are living words. They speak to you right where you are in this moment, at this time, in whatever situation you're in. So, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you land on the hearts of all who are hearing this, that you clean out their mind with any clutter that may be getting between you and the message you have to deliver to those who are listening, that you open up the space to be able to speak and deliver that message, and that it embeds on the hearts of all those who are listening. And indeed, they begin to crave the word and desire it deeply, so that their life can begin to be transformed. In the name of the Holy Spirit, amen. So here we have the last half of the first chapter of Mark, and it begins with a healing. So Jesus has called his first four disciples, and immediately we get a healing in the town of Capernaum. And indeed, Capernaum becomes Jesus' home base for his ministry. He goes back and forth to Capernaum often throughout his ministry, so it kind of becomes his home. And it's the Sabbath, and here we go. You know what Jesus does on the Sabbath? He works. He does God's work. And we have the first healing story. And it's a healing story of a man with an unclean spirit. So this isn't a physical healing. This first healing is a spiritual healing. And physical healings were a lot more common in those days. But the thought that someone could perform a spiritual healing was rare, if known at all. And that's how Jesus begins. And of course, that tells everyone that he can do things no one else can do. He can cast out demons, remove the demons from people's spirits, and clean them for him. In fact, he knows the spirits, and the spirits know him. That's how we start today, and tells us that Jesus is doing something new in the world. Isn't it interesting? Down in verse 27, are you with me? It says, they were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, what is this? A new teaching with authority! Exclamation point. Well, that's interesting because this text tells us that he teaches as one having authority. Remember up above in 22? He teaches as one having authority and not as the scribes. So what does this mean? When one teaches with authority, that means they are teaching of personal, direct experience, things that are about them. They are what they are teaching about. Jesus is teaching about God as God would be teaching them, not as the scribes. The scribes would be teaching them about God as a secondary source or a third source or something we've read about or something we've learned about from our parents and our synagogue schools. Jesus teaches as the one who is the authority. He is the authority. He teaches about God as if he is God because he is God. So down in 27, he teaches with authority and he commands even the unclean spirits and his fame begins to spread. And they go into Simon Peter's house, and this is a clue in the gospel. You're looking for clues about the disciples. This is a clue that Simon was married because it tells us that they go into Simon's mother-in-law. A little more tea there. That's so good. So smooth. And we're getting that aroma filling the room. Starting to levitate a little bit. And they enter Simon's mother-in-law's house, and she's in bed with a fever. So he's just performed this public spiritual healing, and now he's in a little private space. He's in the bedroom of Simon's mother-in-law, and she's physically sick, a fever. And what does he do? Yeah, he heals her. He came. See this? Check this verse out. Verse 31. This tells us how Jesus heals. Verse 31. He came. He took her by the hand. And he lifted her up. It's like step one, step two, step three. Jesus will come to you. He will take you by the hand. And he will lift you up. He'll do that today in your life, whenever you need it. He'll come, he'll take you by the hand, and he'll lift you up. Scripture says, and the fever left her, and what'd she start doing? She began to serve. That's what you will do. When he comes and takes you by the hand and lifts you up, you'll never be the same again. You'll begin to serve him. Well, that evening, the disciples got very aggressive and brought all who were sick or possessed to the door, and the whole city was there. Mark does tend to use absolute statements like, they brought all who were sick and the whole city was gathered around the door. We can imagine it was a big crowd. I'm not sure we would agree it was the whole city. But he cured many and he cast out many demons and he would not permit the demons to speak. So, that's a full day there, isn't it? That's a full Sabbath. And what do preachers do on the day after the Sabbath, on the Monday? They take a nap. They take a day off. And that's what Jesus does. In the morning, see verse 35? It was still dark, and he got up, and he went to a deserted place, and he prayed. So after working for God and cleansing spirits and healing people of physical ailments, he prays. And this is how he gets recharged and re-energized. It's the same for us. And finally, Simon and the disciples find him, and they say this amazing thing, which I hope is still true today, right? Verse 37, look at this. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Well, we wonder, is that Mark just using his kind of exaggerated statements, "Everyone is searching for you"? Or is this a universal, eternal statement about today in our lives? Everyone is searching for you. They may not know it's you, but they're searching for what you have. They're searching for what you bring. They need you. They desire you, even if they don't know it. Everyone is searching for you. And he says, well, let's move on, right? We got a lot more ground to cover before this ministry is over, and I've got to proclaim the message everywhere I go. So it says they went throughout Galilee, and before the chapter ends, we get the leper. Because if you want to get a test of a real healer in the first century, you bring a leper to him. And a leper came begging and kneeling to him to make him clean. And it says Jesus was moved with pity. So here we have an example early on in chapter 1 of Mark of human emotion. Jesus is fully divine and fully human, so he has human emotions. Verse 41, moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I do choose, be made clean." He does that to you too, you know. The key thing was the leper asked, "Make me clean." You can ask him that today when we're done with this in your prayer. "Make me clean." And Jesus will say, "I do choose." And immediately the leprosy left the man. Now it ends kind of interesting. He sent him away and he says to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go see the priests and get your blessing from them." That's when anyone is healed from leprosy, they go to the priest, and the priest will examine them and decide if they're ready to go out in public yet, or, hey, get this, if they need to be quarantined for a while, if the leprosy is still active. So you whenever you're healed of leprosy, you go to the priest and get the word about whether you still have to be in seclusion for a while or whether you're ready to go. But Jesus says, "Say nothing to anyone." And isn't that interesting? He says, "Say nothing to anyone," over and over, and yet none of these people can keep from talking about him. And today he says to us, "Go tell everybody," and hardly any of us talk about him at all. That's called a paradox that we need to pray about. Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone about me," and yet everyone he meets and heals spreads the word like wildfire. And today he says, "Go tell everybody," and we hardly say a word. And thus ends chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark. I hope you'll read it again at some point today. I hope you'll use it in your prayer time today. I hope you've enjoyed this reading, and my tip to you is stick with it. We're beginning already to feel that spirit. I wonder if you felt it today, but it's coming. And Mark will show us the way, and Jesus will come to us, and he'll lift us, and he'll heal us, and we will serve him. Amen, hallelujah, and amen.